I've said already, it's really fitting that we're having a service of worship on Anzac Day. Because Anzac Day actually reminds us that in this world there is great conflict. And that conflict is not going to stop. And anyone that tells you that the world is going to end up in peace and everything will be fine is not telling you the truth, because Jesus never said that. Jesus actually told us that before he returns, and the message this morning is Jesus is coming. We celebrated Christmas not long ago, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a little baby born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem, grew up to be a man who accomplished the most extraordinary things that are recorded in history, in the Bible, who offered himself on a cross at Calvary, and he never sinned, not even once. All the temptations that came against him, all the attempts to seduce him and deceive him and bring him under the devil's control, he never once sinned. He never once complained. How are you going with the food that's served up by mum and dad? Do you ever complain about food that gets put in front of you on the table? Oh, I don't like this. Do you know what happened to the Israelites? I used to tell my children this. God sent snakes to bite them when they complained about their food. It's serious. But you know, God wants us to embrace his ways. And so he sent his son Jesus. And how did Jesus live in this world? What sort of person was he? What was he like? Well, when I was playing with the 2-year-old children and 3-year-old children at playgroup, I just loved thinking of Jesus, who just loved children. He just wanted to be with them. Why did he so enjoy the company of children? Why do I so enjoy the company of children? Because children are like this. My grandson, he's four, Samuel. I've got a few grandsons. I've got to remember which one it is. Samuel is with me on the couch at home, and he's lying on my lap. And out of his mouth comes, "Hey, Pa, are you having a baby?" Oh, no, Samuel, men don't have babies. It's just women who have babies. "Well, Pa, why is your tummy so big?" You see, because children are so honest, aren't they? I thought, wow, I better do some more exercise. That's why I love children, because they're so open and honest. And God actually wants us to be like them. But we become sophisticated, don't we? And therefore we hide the truth about ourselves and we push away the truth about God. But the Bible says the truth will set you free. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to set you free. Free from everything that would corrupt you. Free from everything that would hinder your relationship with him. And God is love. Remember that. God is love. And if you want a relationship with love, then be like a little child. Be honest about grumbling about the food that's put on the table and say, "I'm sorry, Mum." Be honest. Be truthful. Jesus lived in this world and he never sinned, not even once. And last night I was taking some marriage classes and I said to the man preparing for marriage, it says in the Bible that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? And he said, "Well, he died on the cross." I said, "Yes, but how did he actually love the church?" Because Peter died on a cross. The two thieves next to Jesus died on a cross. How did he love the church? How did he love you? He did not sin. And therefore, on the cross, he offered a perfect sacrifice for you. without any taint of sin, he offered it for you. If you want to love your wife as Christ loved the church, then keep your heart pure. Keep yourself from sin. That's how you love your wife. Well, Jesus loved us perfectly. And he loves you and me today just as perfectly as when he died on that cross. And what he's going to tell us in the passage in the scriptures, because these are the words of Jesus, are really important for you to take on board today. They're words of Jesus because he loves you, because he wants you to be with him forever. And he doesn't want you to be punished. He doesn't want you to suffer affliction. He gives us instructions, very clear instructions. And it's very clear that Jesus said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. You're going to have war in this world. You're going to follow me and people are going to oppose you. People are going to reject what you believe because you're believing in God. And many people are rejecting a belief in God. They don't think Jesus is coming back again. They're going to save the world. Well, they're not going to. Because God is going to judge the world. Just as he did in Noah's day, Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Noah before he returns. And there is going to be a judgment. And it's going to be very severe. And God does not want us to be in that severe judgment. He wants us free. He wants us out of it. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us that as Christians, we are called into an army. And that might sound a little bit harsh, being called into an army. But an army is actually a collection of soldiers, not just one. Yesterday, I met with my fellow soldiers in the front room there, the session, we're meeting together. And we were praying for each other. I don't know how many prayers we prayed, Don, in that meeting, but we prayed a lot of prayers for each other. And it was just like an army, standing shoulder to shoulder with one another. And my brother Lamb, who went and preached yesterday, we prayed for him. He came back this morning. He was radiant. He said it was absolutely wonderful because the army was standing together. Well, we are called into the army and we have to put on armor. Now, remember this, young people? God wants you to be wearing armor. And his armor is so incredibly powerful and effective against all of the attacks of the devil and all his devices. He wants us to be wearing this armor so we can stand against the evil one. And he is in the world. We can see his activities. As I've already said, as the time of the return of our Lord Jesus draws closer, the Bible tells us that there is going to be great conflict in this world. Jesus said there would be much turmoil. Most people would be fainting for fear of what is coming on the world. The book of Revelation talks about the release of horses and their riders, that God releases to judge the sinful practices of human beings on earth. And one of the judgments is pestilence. And we've seen pestilence being released onto the earth. Very interesting that COVID, you know, impacted the world just after Australia had joined with most of the other nations of the earth and approved same-sex marriage as a law. Defying God. Well, God is real. And don't think he's just turned his back on it and not looking at it and seeing it. God sees. He loves the world so much. He sends his son to die on a cross to save the world from sin. But the world rejects him and turns away, turns its nose up at God. Do you think God is not going to do something? God is going to do something. Because he's a just God. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, but he does anger. And Jesus does not want any of us to face the wrath of God. He faced the wrath of God. Jesus. He took your sin, your grumbling at the dinner table. Mine too. He took your glancing at a woman lustfully. He took it on the cross. He took your jealousy, your pride. He took it on himself. And he faced the wrath of God. And it was incredibly excruciating. In fact, it killed him. The nails didn't kill him. It was a punishment of our sin that killed Jesus. Because he loves us so much. And we read in the Old Testament a passage where God was addressing Isaiah about judgments that were coming upon the people, the nations around Israel and Israel itself for sin that was being unrepented of. God said he was sending judgment, and he told his leaders through Isaiah, oil your shields. And friends, God is telling you and me today, oil your shield. You're going to need the shield. And as I showed the children, the shield is a shield of faith. And you're going to need your faith to be alive and well and healthy. You're going to need your faith in God to be refreshed, not cracked and like the leather that dries out in the harsh conditions. You're going to need it to be fresh and alive. Now, I was driving in my car to a prayer meeting at Brighton on Thursday, and my faith was a bit cracked. And in the seat next to me was my wife. And I'm driving along, and at one moment, unprompted by me, she takes off in prayer. And she starts to challenge the thrones of darkness. She prays, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, we oppose you. You spirit of witchcraft over the church and over this community." She prayed against Freemasonry, which is a powerful spirit over our nation. And it was like rocket fuel came into me as I'm driving the car. What is this? This is the oil oiling my shield. Hallelujah, I was with a fellow soldier. You need your shield oiled. You need it fresh. You need the Spirit of God to be released so that your faith is quickened. And in this passage in Isaiah 21, God, through Isaiah, is telling the people, I'm going to send judgments. And God is going to send judgments. Be assured of this. He is a faithful, true God. He is going to send judgments. He judged the sin in Noah's day. He's going to judge the sin in our day. And only if we repent will we avoid the judgment. That's why Jesus said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And how do we repent? Well, we turn to Jesus. We say, I can't do it, Lord. My wife was praying, and as she prayed, Jesus strengthened me because I can't do it myself. And none of us can do it ourselves. Jesus knows this. And that's why when we get to the passage that we read in Luke's gospel this morning, in Luke 12, he is giving instructions to his disciples about how to stay in a condition that will be ready for his return. And he tells them this, stay dressed for action. Stay dressed for action. You know, if you haven't got a shield on and you haven't got a sword in your hand and you're not wearing a helmet, the helmet of salvation, it's a bit small for me, but Budgie wore it nicely. If you're not dressed for action, when the battle comes, how are you going to stand? How are you going to stand? Jesus is offering us all that we need to stand in the battle. The Word of God, the shield of faith, His salvation on the cross, He died for us. And why is it over our head? Because you need to remember He loves you. He loves you. You may fall down, you may need to confess your sins to Him, but He loves you and He died for you. He says, stay dressed for action. Don't go to sleep. You know, when the battles really get on, it's easy to run away. I'm a minister. I know all about that. I feel like running away a lot. Except God's called me to be a servant of His people. And I need His strength. I need to be dressed for action. Because there's a battle. You see, there is a devil, isn't there? You all don't look very convinced. I tell you what, he's so active today. And he's going around telling people he doesn't exist. Well, he exists all right. And God wants us to stand with all that he has provided for us, dressed for action, and keep your lamps burning. Now, why does he say that? Keep your lamps burning. What do you need a lamp for? When do you need a lamp? When it's dark, friends. And it is going to get dark. In fact, it's going to get very dark. Jesus said this. It is going to get dark. There is going to be a tremendous battle. But he wants your lamps burning. And he has provided for you everything so your lamp can be burning. When he died on the cross, he gave up his spirit to the Father. And he told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. They were equipped with the Spirit of God so their lamps could be burning in this world. You know, Peter thought he could have a lamp in his own strength, didn't he? I'll never deny you. But when it got dark there in Jerusalem, what happened? His lamp wasn't burning, was it? And he went out and he wept bitterly because he didn't have what he needed to stand. But when Jesus died on that cross, he released from heaven the oil you need for your lamp to be burning. And it's available every day if you ask him. And remember, he told another story about his return. 10 virgins. I think it's very interesting. He said 10 virgins, 10 women who were keeping themselves from sexual sin. And 5 of them who, even doing that, missed him. That's what Jesus said. The 5 that had oil in their lamps, when it got dark, recognized when he came. And we need oil in our lamps. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Now, I know I've had to get up at 5:45 nearly every day for the last, I don't know how many years, Don. How long have we been praying the 6 a.m. prayer meeting?
About 10 years.
10 years or something. And I've needed it to be here with you today. If we didn't have that, I tell you what, I'd be struggling. Because you need oil in your lamp. Now, whether it's a 6 a.m. prayer meeting or whether it's another meeting or another time when you seek God with all your heart, you need to seek him. He is available for you personally. And he wants to provide all that will equip you to stand in the judgments that are coming on this world. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. You see, these disciples here are being described as servants of a master, and they're looking after their master, his interests. And as Christians, we're looking after not our interests, the interests of Jesus. What is Jesus' interest? To save people from their sins. To bring them to heaven, safe and secure. That's his interest. And these servants are serving a master who is getting married. Jesus in the Bible is going to have a marriage feast. Every one of us is going to be united. Everyone who truly believes in him and trusts him is going to be united with him like a wedding, like Claire and Zach next Saturday. And it will be some wedding. But these servants are caring for their master. And Jesus says, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Jesus is wanting to tell us that we need to be ready. He's going to not, there's going to be a day when that happens, and there won't be any more days. That'll be it. He wants us to be ready. Blessed are those servants. These are the words of Jesus himself. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. Now, I found myself one morning this week so deeply affected physically I couldn't get out of bed until I rang one of my friends and prayed with them. And as we prayed, strength came into my physical body to stay awake, to stay alert, to stay focused on God. Finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself. Now, notice this. This is Jesus saying, when the master comes, he's going to dress himself for service and have them, the ones who are waiting for him, recline at table. The ones who are awake, the ones who are focused on him, he's going to actually take and sit down at his table, reclining at his table, enjoying his company. He will come and serve them. Can you imagine the one who never committed a sin, who died for you on the cross, putting you down at his table and serving you? Can you think of that? That's the character of our God. That's what he's like. He's a servant king. He loves to serve. And young people, I want to encourage you, love to serve. Not yourself, love to serve. But not just young people, all people. Love to serve. Love to give yourself in service of others. For then you will follow Jesus. That's what he did. If he comes in the second watch or in the third. Now these are watches of the night when the watchmen were looking out for maybe a trouble in the city or some warring tribe that was going to come and attack their town. And watches of the night, the second and the third, they were dark. They were dark times. And finds them awake. Blessed are those servants. Friends, it's going to be tough. We are facing tough times. We can see laws being passed in our own land that are opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are going to be tough times, but God is able to equip you with everything good so that you will be awake and ready for when he returns. Blessed are those servants who are awake. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Now, God has entrusted each of you in this room today to a house. Children, you're under the authority of your parents. That's the house in which you are entrusted. as you obey your parents, as you honor them as your parents, God will give you all that you need to stand. Parents, you're entrusted on your household. You have a responsibility. It's easy to leave your house, you know. Oh, I think I'll go off and do something else. I'll hand my children over to others to look after them. Just be careful. It's not inappropriate at times to have other people looking after your children, but you are entrusted to your house. Be watchful of it. I'm actually, with the elders, responsible for this church. And we're to be awake, we're to be alert, we're to be looking after the house God has appointed for us. Oh, there's another church across the road. That's not my business. Somebody else has got responsibility for that. Actually, he's a dear man, Charlie Fletcher, and his dear friend, Jeremiah Paul. Lovely Pakistani Muslim who was converted in Melbourne. Ooh, hallelujah. Preaching in the Anglican church across the road. Hallelujah. But that's their responsibility, and you have responsibility for your house where you have been placed by God. And the world at the moment is running rampantly after everything else except what God has appointed for them. I found that when I was in the workforce, people just changing jobs willy-nilly all over the place. Don't you realize that you've been called to a particular responsibility? God has appointed you a house. And this is why Jesus is saying, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. Because the house gets broken into if you leave it. There are thieves, and the devil is a thief. I was talking to this dear man last night about his dear fiancée who he's going to marry. And I said to him, you know, the thing that God delights in a woman is a quiet, gentle spirit. The Bible tells us it's so precious in the sight of God, a quiet, gentle spirit. And so what is Satan going to try and steal out of your wife? He's a thief, and it's precious. You're going to have to be standing guard to protect her. When she starts to think she's not as beautiful as that woman next door. The devil is lying to her. He's whispering in her ears. You need to get alongside her, look her straight in the eyes, right, Claire, and say, oh, I love you so much. You are dear to me. You need to use the word to set her free. Watch over your own house, not somebody else's, or the thief will break in and steal. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is Jesus talking. He is going to come at a time you don't expect. Is it now? Is it later this afternoon? When is it? Well, anybody who comes and tells you they know is lying. Because Jesus said he doesn't even know. Only the Father. So why does he keep that truth from us? Because he wants us ready all the time. Not just, you know, fixing it up at the last moment when you know he's coming. He wants you ready today. Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everybody? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager or servant whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Now, friends, I'm entrusted, and Lamb too, to bring food to you at the proper time. And really, the most important thing in ministry, and I ask you to pray for me in this, is I will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Because if I give you steak when you need milk, it's not much good. And if you do that in your own household, if you give your kids the wrong thing at the wrong time, you know, a six-month-old baby, you stick a steak in front of them, there's not much good, is it? Well, all of us are entrusted to particular responsibilities, and the one Jesus is referring to the fact that the master has set us over a household to give them their portion of food at the proper time. How will you know what time to give what food? Spiritually, I'm talking now. How will you know? Do you know there is a chapter in the Bible that is the Holy Spirit chapter? It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's a time to sow. There's a time to reap. What's the time? The Holy Spirit knows the time. And you need oil in your lamp so the Holy Spirit can give you the right food for the right people at the right time. And Jesus says, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes, giving them their food at the proper time. And God has been speaking to me, friends, for some months, there is judgment coming. You need to be prepared and ready. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Look at that. If you are simply feeding the household or whatever it is you've been entrusted to at the proper time with the food that God has appointed for you to give, he's going to set you over all his possessions. I love that because I haven't got a house, you see. I live in the manse. It belongs to the church. I've got a tent in the garage, but, you know, my wife and I often think, how, where are we going to? But you see, Jesus is going to set us over all his possessions. Because this world is not our home, is it? Is it? Maybe it is for some of us. My encouragement to you is don't make this world your home. It's going to be consumed. And Jesus has told us that. But if that servant says to himself, my master's delayed in coming, begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, you know, just live it up and enjoy the lusts and pleasures of the flesh in this world. Oh, yeah, I can do that. No worries. Just enjoy the fleshly pleasures. It's very dangerous, friends. Listen to what Jesus is going to say now. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces. This is Jesus. This is Jesus Christ. Will cut him in pieces. And put him with the unfaithful. You know, the fear of the Lord, a right fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. But do you know what the end of wisdom is? Love. Love is the end of wisdom. Because perfect love casts out fear. And if you truly fear God, he will pour his love into your heart. And that love will consume all fear. That servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready, did not get ready. Friends, get ready. You know, I've met so many Christians in recent times who are flitting and flirting, not turning up at church, not thinking, oh, I'll go to church when I want to or whatever, or oh, I'm not reading my Bible, not praying. Friends, this is serious stuff. Now, we all fall down. I've fallen down too. I'm not perfect in this at all. And I make mistakes, but God forgives if we repent. If we turn to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please help me. Help me to feed on your word. Help me to spend time with you in prayer. Help me to be ready for your return. That servant whom knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Now, why does Jesus tell us this? He doesn't want us to face a severe beating. That's why he's giving us these instructions, these warnings. That's why he told the princes in Israel to oil the shield. He didn't want them to face the judgment that was coming. But the one who did not know and did what was deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Do you know, friends, there are many people who don't even have a Bible and yet they love God. They know so little, and yet we have his word available every day in this land. How many Bibles have you got in your home? I've got lots. If you haven't got one, come, I'll give you one of mine. We have the word of God. It's available to read all the time. And God, who has given us so much, he's blessed us with this celebration of Anzac Day when we remember that men and women like us gave their lives to preserve peace. And we are the beneficiaries. We have been given much. Everyone to whom much was given, of much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Jesus gives these instructions because he loves us. He loves us. He suffered so severely on the cross. But before he suffered, he kept himself from all corruption. He was ready. He was ready to offer a sacrifice for all of us. He was full of the Spirit, full of faith in his Father. And he bought us an incredible salvation. And he is waiting to receive us. Whether he returns first or whether we go to be with him, he is waiting to receive us in a home that will so out surpass anything we have known. As my grandmother said to me, I had a dream of heaven and love was everywhere. There was no war because it's already been won. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, our Savior. Thank the Lord that he gives us warnings because he loves us. Amen.